How are you doing? Doing good. It's good to see you. Long time we didn't have our meeting, and I wanted to share with you after coming back from a sabbatical retreat. As you know, I try to do this once a year. I think people behind the first doors they don't know that we're hearing them. So as I said, I try to do this once a year, mainly to be revived spiritually and to get like clear vision for you know the coming period of time. And it was, as usual, a blessed time. And actually, God arranged it to be in a very, very special time in the year. Actually, it's actually the most special time of the year, maybe after Holy Week, which is the 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost. Like this, these 10 days, very, very, very special, because that's when the church should be in prayer and waiting for the Holy Spirit to give the church new strength, new energy, a new vision. And these days are made for that. A lot of people, old tradition, they spend these 10 days in prayer. I never, like when I reserved the time, I didn't know that it was in these 10 days. So it was a blessed time. And when I actually looked back, I remember that every blessing in my life, God gave me around this time. So I like this all came back to me where I didn't like I just put it together recently. You know that we're the church who did quiet time, right? Quiet time, and this expression is never like we invented quiet time. And you know, if you want to know how this happened, I think it happened maybe 12 years ago, around the same time. I notice almost every year around Pentecost where God gives me something, and it's a huge blessing in my life, and it reflects, you know, to the church later on. So, you know, the quiet time was one thing that I learned in one of the years of the apostles' fast after Pentecost, and we did that the following year in the church. One year, God taught me personal retreat, how you need to stop things and go for a day and spend time with God, and that's how, you know, you revive yourself every now and then. Happened around the same time. So I noticed that God gives gifts without us even noticing, you know, and we don't even notice the timing and when they come and stuff like this. But that's something that I wanted to share with you. Also, the sabbatical thing is actually came during one of these times of Pentecost. So God really gives gifts till now. Maybe we see them, maybe we don't, maybe we correlate, maybe we don't, but it does. He does work. He does give till now blessings and spiritual blessings and gifts during this time. So when I went to the retreat, I wanted to basically, I need the answer for two questions. What do I need in my life as a priest, as a father, as a husband? And what does the church need as the bride of Christ? So God gave me the answer for two. So I wanted to share with you the answer for both questions, and hopefully it will be a benefit to you. If I want to be a better person and a better priest and father and husband, as I told you, what do I do? Read more, research, Google it, as people Google everything. Like where do I go? Use new techniques, books with new techniques and stuff like this, teach you like new methods and new cool stuff to help you to be a better person, 10 things to be organized person and 5 things to be a better husband and, you know, 25 things to have a good marriage and stuff like this. Do these things work? I don't think so. And that was, you know, the answer. The all good things, we should be following them, we should do them. But unless the Holy Spirit changes me as a person, and unless he puts his imprint in me, it will never happen. No method will it change me. Things can teach me new techniques, can try them, they work, they don't work. I keep trying things, I keep going in these circles, but unless he touches, unless it is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of me, it's not real, it's not genuine, it's not lasting. And as I told you, a couple of examples that the Holy Spirit taught me during the season of Pentecost, like quiet time, like personal retreat, sabbatical, stuff like this, these things are still going on in my life. They never stopped. Why? Because it was from him. His gift is a perfect gift. And his gift lasts. And his gift, you know, but if I try to push it, if I try to imitate someone, if I try to do something that's not what God is asking me to do right now, maybe I will not succeed. Maybe I'll do it once, few times, and then I stop after that. The change that we hear about is always from the outside. But the change of the Holy Spirit is from the inside. Exactly as if we want to design a good car. When you hear a car, okay, what do you think about the car? Especially ladies, what do you think about the car? It's red or not? That's the first question, right? How it looks, if you have children, how many seats, how cool, I don't know how girls think of cars, or they don't care, just works. But if you're a mechanical engineer, you would think about the engine, because you know that this engine is what is going to last. It's good to have a very good design of a good car, but if it doesn't have a good engine, it's useless. You know, it's going to be Ford. Fix or repair daily. You know that what Ford stands for. I didn't say that. It's not going to last. It's not going to continue. It's not from the heart, not from the inside. It's exactly like a balloon. A balloon has either air or helium. Imagine that we have, and both of them look exactly the same. If we have an air balloon, what do we need to do in order to keep the balloon up? Keep kicking it. Kick, liturgy. Kick, servants meeting. Kick, you know, anything, sermon. Keep kicking it in order to keep floating. If it has helium, what do you need to do in order for the balloon to be floating? Nothing. You need actually to keep it down. Why? Because it's just going to soar. That's the difference. So, if I really know that what I need is for the Holy Spirit to work in my heart and to change, what do I do? Read more books? If I really know that the real touch that I want is that Holy Spirit, that's helium inside of me, that power inside of me to keep me going, what do I need to do? sincerely ask God for it. Perfect answer. If he said, ask God for it, I wouldn't accept the answer. So he answered the perfect answer. Sincerely ask God for it. Imagine if you know someone who has the answer for your problem. And he's the only person who has the answer to your problem. He's the only one who's got the medicine for your sickness. He's the only one who's got the key for the locked door or room that you have. What would you do? As Jesus taught us, ask, seek, and knock. Pray, pray, pray. Sincerely ask God for it. Maybe you can open Luke 11. Luke 11, verses 5-13. Luke 11, 5-13 says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on this journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Let me act this. Got some guests? Need some bread. Basically, that's what people ate, yani, back then, not steak. So my neighbor has the bread, very late at night, sleeping, everybody sleep. Yes, you have some bread. No, everybody's sleeping. Okay, everybody is up, ready, because I knocked so hard. Can I get some bread? Fine, they're awake anyways. Thank you. And he gives him whatever he wants. What is this? Resistance. Why? I have nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else to go. The problem is, I have other places to go. I have books. Maybe if I read... I have sermons. I have people to ask. Not necessarily going to God and ask him. I really do that. My pride and my independence from God doesn't make me do that. It's exactly the sin of Adam and Eve. Eating from the tree of knowledge and not from the tree of life. We love to eat from the tree of knowledge. And that's actually our favorite thing these days. Knowledge. Learn more. Read about it. Ask people. But even in preparing a sermon, even in doing God's work as servants, how much time we put in actions versus how much time we put in prayer. I'm not saying that to you. I'm sharing with you my problem. Okay, I'm not judging any of you. I'm just telling you what God has told me. Eating from the tree of life, not from the tree, eating from the tree of knowledge versus the tree of life. Tree of life is going to God. More prayer. Not being more professional. I'd like to be more professional. I'd like to be more prepared. I'd like to do things perfectly. About spiritually. About the Spirit of God in it. About the fire in it. How about the life in it? About the engine in the car. So the message basically is not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Do you know this verse or not? You have to know it by heart as servants. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I'll say it one more time. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Do you know the story of Ezekiel? Ezekiel 37 or 47? Anyone who's good about the Bible? Somehow it's skipping my mind now. I think it's 47. The dead bones. 37 or 47? 30? 37. The dead bones. Ezekiel went, he saw in the valley dead bones. A lot of dead bones. I think there was a battle and people died and they were there for years. And he says, "What do you think, Ezekiel? Can you prophesy for these bones?" He said, "Sure." He did. Prophesied, the bones stood up, became a skeleton, then skin, then everything, and they became an army of dead bodies. Dead bodies. So they're still their bodies, but they're dead. And he said, "Talk to the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God come upon these people." And the Spirit of God came upon them. And instead of being dead people, even though they're not skeletons anymore, their bodies, they were dead. Life came in them, came a strong army. Messages, pray, pray, pray. Ask, seek, and knock. So Jesus, after this parable, told them, "So I say to you," in verse 9, Luke 11, 9. "So I say to you," when you read the Bible, be careful. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." What's in verse 10? "For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Repetition. Why? It's important. Highlight. Watch here. Anything that's repeated. Abraham, Abraham. Why twice? Listen, I'm going to tell you something very important. Verily, verily, I say to you. Watch out. I'm going to say something really, really important. Ask, seek, and... So he repeated three times and another three times. Pray, 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 pray. Can you say it any more clearly? And then he says later on, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil," evil nature, not even people, but we have the evil nature, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You want to change? Ask, seek, and knock. What after that? Ask, seek, and knock. What after that? Ask, seek, and knock. Three things to keep in mind when you pray, or in order to keep your life of prayer. Forcefully will never come naturally as long as you are a human being and you have body and you have aches and you have flesh. Will always need a push, will always need a struggle. Forcefully, not waiting until you feel like it. Not wait until you feel like it. Forcefully. And second, consistently, meaning if I pray six times a day, will the prayer be a habit in my life? The answer is no. It has to be 7 times. 7 times a week. Every single day. 1 day a break, you break a very important cycle. It's exactly like your digestion system. It becomes part of you. And I'm going to tell you exactly what we're doing right now. So number one, forcefully, pushing yourself. Second, consistently, without a break. And number three, gradually. Gradually. Meaning, starting with 3 Psalms, with 10 minutes of prayer in the Akbaya with the rest. And very gradually increase that. It's exactly like diet. It's very, very similar to diet. You can't have a huge meal today and a very small meal tomorrow. It's not going to work. You're going to have a problem in your digestion system. You're going to have a problem with your appetite, with your metabolism, with everything. It's going to be messed up. Same thing with your soul. Because the prayer is the food for the soul. So, forcefully, consistently, and gradually. You can think about this more and more. What you're doing is you're creating a room for the Holy Spirit, channels for the grace of God inside you. You're pushing things inside your heart. When you push time, when you push God in your schedule and in your time, regardless of what you do. In what I said, these 3 things, I didn't mention that you should be very, very super focusing on what you pray. And I didn't say that make every word from the bottom of your heart, because sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're all over the place. Sometimes you're distracted. I didn't say that. I didn't say very sincerely. And I didn't say pray with faith. I said 3 things that you can do. Okay, I didn't say pray with a lot of faith. How's that? But I'm saying forcefully, which is something I can do, and consistently, and gradually. This is creating a room for the Holy Spirit to live in me, to change me, exactly as blowing a balloon. When you're doing that, number one, you have to force the air inside the balloon, right? Or it's gonna go by itself. Can the